I'll be reading this morning from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in a place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life."
Thank you, Kevin. God has a vision for every single part of our life, and one of the things that God has a vision for is these moments in our lives where we're graduating. We're celebrating folks that are graduating from high school and going on to what is next, and most of you will pursue education and some part of that, whether it's in the military. Make no mistakes, you're going to learn something in the military. You're going to understand what standard operating procedure is, right? Very good, SOP. But whatever form of learning you're going to be doing, you're graduating. But if you were here a couple of Saturdays ago, you saw some preschool kids, quote unquote, graduate, right? Graduate into the next stage. I got to witness graduating just in the last few days. For those of you who've been parents, you know that becoming a parent the first time is quite a graduation, but I'm not sure that the greater transition is when you move from having one child to two children. Right? And we watched our daughter and son-in-law, Elise and Jason, move from being the parent of one child into being a parent of two children as Juliet Marie was born on Wednesday afternoon. So, we welcome her. I watched another graduation, though, as well. That is, Callie Michelle is our oldest granddaughter, who is Juliet's big sister. And we watched a young lady graduate from being the oldest child, the only grandchild on one side of the family, the first grandchild on the other side of the family, and the only child in the Jason and Elise Creed household. She got to graduate to being a big sister. And if y'all think you're stressed about going off to this next thing, she's pretty stressed, girl, about being a big sister. But we get to watch these graduations. In reality, they go on all the time, don't they? You know, life always has that next graduation, right? I've graduated into the empty nest stage in my life. We've been doing that for a few years now. Chelsea and John are going to graduate into the married stage of life. Somebody say hallelujah. We're excited about that. But we always are a people who are moving from one stage to the next. We're graduating. And God has a vision for that. God will always is ready to open new opportunities for us in these new graduations. And too many times we kind of see God as part of what was, and we're not always sure how God fits into what is. There was a guy named Solomon. You may have heard of him before. Kevin, thank you very much for your reading from that significant moment in his life. Solomon, if there ever was a guy who had everything, Solomon's the guy who had everything. And part of the reason Solomon had everything is that God gave it to him. And in many ways, he represents kind of that ultimate form of the way in which God steps into our life at each new graduation, at each new transition, this transition for y'all, and says, "Taste and see. I have so many blessings waiting for you, you can't believe it." There was a powerful way in which said, God says to Solomon, ask whatever you will. Christopher, I don't know if you know it or not, but God is standing in your life. And Jaden and Kevin and McKenna, Kaylee, like I said, Kaylee. It's always good to get up without a wire, right? Without a net, that's the way to say it. And Andrea, God is saying, ask whatever. You're moving on to a new stage in life, and God says, ask whatever. And He opens the door for all of us to taste and see the new joys that He has out there. That we sing about this song. There are 10,000 reasons to continue to pursue Him. But what's always interesting, and Solomon fell into this, didn't he? As much as God wanted to give him, and in fact, not only did God want to give, God did give Solomon so much. Solomon not only saw 10,000 reasons to follow God, Solomon also, and again, the text kind of tries to point towards this marrying with foreign wives, that he also saw 10,000, maybe even a few more reasons to head in a new direction. God did great things with Solomon, and then Solomon decided, I'm going to go see if there's something maybe a little bit greater. That journey took him in a lot of different directions, pointed him in a lot of places. And he, make no mistakes, and again, by the way, I'm not recommending to you guys that you have to taste everything to determine that it doesn't taste good, yes? Somebody say amen to that. Okay, very good. I've never had frog legs. I have zero intention of trying frog legs. I don't need to taste and see. Jaden says that he gives his double thumbs approval, but I guess if we kept working at it, we could find something that's bleh. So there we go. The thing is, Solomon had the opportunity to taste and see all that God would do with a king if he remained faithful to him. He chose instead to kind of walk in another direction. He reached for things that weren't inside of God's will for him. And the funny thing particularly is if the God gave him this sense of discernment and wisdom, which is what the passage points to, he actually knew that it was heading in the wrong direction. You know what? I happen to know the seeds that God's planted in you. If you're going to go run off and taste some other things, I happen to know that you know that God has something better planned over here for you. But you know what? We can talk to them all we want to, can't we? Isn't that true of us as well? We become that parent, right? And we're going to find all kinds of excuses why it's just so hard to get my children here for Bible class. And yet what we know is great things go on in Bible class for our kids. And not only for our kids, but guess who else gets great stuff when we go to Bible class? We do as parents. It's kind of a neat thing. We know that. But we're not always sure we're ready to taste and see what the Lord has for us. Solomon tried so many things. Solomon tried to seek and find. Surely God can be at the end of this road, or God can be at the end of that road. And God's always kind of saying, no, you know what? I'm right here in this same road I've always been in. You're going to graduate onto new things. And I loved what Terry had to say. I don't know where y'all are going. I don't know what churches you're going to run into there. But I hope you find a church that brings you back to Jesus. Amen? Church, I don't know what all you're going to pursue. I don't know what all you're going to taste. But my prayer is that Jesus always brings you back to this table and to His death, burial, and His resurrection. And what Terry reminded us of is that if we will not let go of Him, He'll never let go of us. But see, Solomon had to chase, didn't he? There's a lot of debate about this, but whether or not it's actually Solomon who wrote it or not, it's clearly intended for us to see it as a reflection of Solomon, thoughts that Solomon had. And so we go to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes starts with these words. And again, you kind of have to see Solomon having pursued all these different things, tasted all these different things. I'm going to find God at the end of this road, even though nobody's ever found God at the end of that road. And what he winds up saying is that when you chase Him places that He isn't, life looks like vanity. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything, and again, if you read the whole book, you'll understand very quickly, everything outside of God will eventually lead to meaningless. The first taste may be really sweet, but it will eventually become ash. The first try may seem, oh, this is going to be exciting, but in reality what we discover is it leads to a path of vanity, meaningless nothingness. Solomon traveled that course, and I think at some level, when we come to the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he wants to write and tell us, I found where I needed to be. Get all the way down to the last chapter, and it's not exactly the last words, but pretty close to the end. Now, I've listened to everything. We could say it this way, I've tasted everything. I've given everything a try, and here's the conclusion of the matter. That all you chase in those directions will lead to meaninglessness, emptiness. By the way, this isn't about these guys anymore, is it? It's about all of us. But instead, if we will put the fear of the Lord and following in His ways, seeing His commandments, His instructions as a path to blessing and protection, this is everything we could hope for. I'll promise you, your world is expanding. Yes? Isn't that neat, the way the world is expanding? Man, I tell you what, you're going in the Navy, have no idea where you're going to wind up. The world could be very big before you're done. You're going in the reserves, make no mistakes. If we get in enough trouble, they're going to call the reserves and send y'all somewhere. Somebody say amen to that. I don't know how big the world's going to get for you, but what's incredible is that no matter what we graduate to, no matter how we see a bigger horizon, no matter how we say, wow, look at all that that's out there, God wants us to understand, yes, go live in that big world. Go be that graduate. Go be that newly married. Go be that new parent. Elise and Jason are looking. Go add more grandchildren. Actually, that's also for Drew and Catherine, just so they know. But whatever's out there, no matter how big the horizon gets, there's nothing that's bigger and nothing that's more important, nothing that brings you more fullness as opposed to emptiness than to love God and to love the way that He lays in front of you. Just real quickly, if I could, three things. God has a vision for graduation, and the first vision is that He has designed us to grow and change. Amen? There's nothing static about human life. Even in the way He designed us biologically, it's always renewing and changing, isn't it? And in reality, He's always got those changes planned for us. And so we say, oh, this change is coming over me. What am I going to do? And God says, I planned that ahead of time, and the love for me and my love for you is not changed by what's changing in you. Amen? Number two, real quickly. God's provision and His protection. Make no mistakes. When we say we want to follow in God's instructions, the reason we follow in that instruction is so that we receive His provision and His protection. Amen? That provision and protection are renewed many times, but so often they are revealed as brand new things that the previous part of our life we didn't understand the way God wanted to protect us from things, the way that God wanted to provide good in our life. We didn't understand that until we graduated, and then we graduate to this next stage in life. And suddenly we realize, wow, look what God has for us. And if we choose to be a people, and again, I have to say, like Solomon, who saw this next step in his life, a step into a greater power, more worldly power, when we see the next step is simply a way to become more humanly or fleshly influential or powerful or important, then we will miss that protection and that provision that God has for us at that next stage. Terry already came to this, but it was already in my slides, so I want to be sure and say it. Third thing is, he has, in the past, always been there. He is here with us now, right? And he will be with us wherever we go. Betty, is that true? Say something more than just shake your head. Is it true? Okay, she said it. Y'all couldn't hear it. I'll tell you she said it. I need to find somebody who'll say it a little louder. Amen. There we go. Every new step. And one of the neatest things about graduating in life is that it gives us that perspective. That God was. He was there. And I can't tell you, guys, it is my prayer that you always look back on this as a spiritual place of nurture in your life. I would say, and so often it's tempting to say, I hope that you always consider this your spiritual home. I don't want to say that. Because I see life expanding for you, and the likelihood that you're coming back here is less than greater. And what I want you to know is that there is another place out there. And you would make a great mistake to always be looking back to the Lake Jackson Church Christ. That's my church home, because there's another church home waiting for you. Do we always want to be this place where you look back and you say, God was with us and God was doing their things and we were blessed there? Do we want them to continue to think that, church? Yes. Amen. But we want you to go. We want you to go to this transition moment. And that's what you're going to step into. And that's why it kind of is not as solid ground as you might want to. We want you to know that God's there with you too. But ultimately, there's nowhere you can go. Church, there's nowhere you can go. I'm looking forward to the next big graduation for me is retirement. I'm looking forward to it. But I'm not done here yet. So I both see that God is in this moment, and I have no idea what God has planned for that next moment. Hopefully more grandchildren. But he is going to be with us. So I ask you to focus your vision. I want to ask all of us to focus our vision. It's so easy to get distracted by the new. To get distracted by, oh, look what else is out there. And we may forget that the same God that was with us before is with us now. Focus that vision that keeps God no matter how many transitions we go through. Keeps God right there in the middle of our lives. We're going to always have this opportunity. Because God's never going to make it where there's nothing to taste and see. There's always going to be choices. I want to invite you to make a decision today. That today and tomorrow, your heart and your eyes, your attention, your vision is going to be focused on what God wants to do. And what God wants you to taste and see. Amen. And the way God wants to provide and protect and bless you in those next steps. That's the invitation. I don't know if you need to come forward to respond to that. But I believe right where you're sitting, you can respond to the invitation. Amen? But let's still stand and let's sing.
My soul magnifies the Lord.